Assalamu alaikum, girls. I hope you're all in the best of health and iman, inshallah. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about how to make the most of the last 10 nights of Ramadan, inshallah. Honestly, I cannot believe that we are literally in, we've just started the last 10 days of Ramadan, subhanAllah. Like, it genuinely has been the quickest Ramadan ever, and it's so, like, sad because I really don't want Ramadan to go, because I feel like, personally for me, this Ramadan, I don't know what happened, but I felt so connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I just want to keep going on with that connection. There's just something about this beautiful month that makes you into a better person, and it allows you to build these amazing habits that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and allows you to carry on with those habits after Ramadan, inshallah. So again, I just can't believe we are in the last 10 days of Ramadan. Like, is it just me? Like, it's genuinely very surreal to me. For those of you that may not know, Laylatul Qadr falls on one of those nights in the last 10 days. A lot of scholars say that it is definitely an odd night, although we have those last 10 days just in case of, you know, different interpretations of the moon sightings. So it also covers any kind of missed days or missed interpretations of when people look at the moon and they might have accidentally did an extra fast or one fast less. So that's why you have those last 10 days. But a lot of scholars say that it falls on an odd night in those last 10 days, and even some scholars say that it's preferably most likely to be the 27th night. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, the night of decree, so Laylatul Qadr, the night of decree is better than 1,000 months. So that's equivalent to about, let's say, about 83, 84 years, and that's longer than an average human life. And you know what, like, subhanAllah, we might actually pass away before then and we'd still be getting rewarded because of how long we're going to get rewarded for. So like I was saying before, the blessed Laylatul Qadr can be found in any of the last 10 nights of Ramadan, which are the most blessed nights of the year. And as such, we should increase our ibadah, so our worship and devotion during this period. Aisha radiallahu anha reported, with the start of the last 10 days of Ramadan, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to tighten his waist belt. So with that kind of just means that he just worked a lot harder, and he used to pray the whole night and used to keep his family awake for the prayers. So that's found in the Bukhari hadith. And Abu Huraira relates to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said that whoever stands, especially in the voluntary night prayer of Ramadan, out of faith and in the hope of reward, his previous sins will be forgiven. And whoever spends the night of Laylatul Qadr in prayer out of faith and in the hope of reward, his previous sins will also be forgiven as well. SubhanAllah. So you can just see how much benefit this blessed night has for us. So it's really important that we are prepared each night to give the most that we can in terms of our ibadah, because the reward is just insane, subhanAllah, and it's a lifetime, you know, lifelong lasting reward of goodness, subhanAllah. And we want to be pleasing Allah, and we want to be so empowered in the last 10 nights that we are able to carry on with certain habits, certain good habits after Ramadan, inshallah. Also, who says we're going to live until the next Ramadan? You know, may we all be blessed enough to witness another Ramadan, I mean, but honestly, we don't know. Allah is the knower of the unseen and the witness, so we actually don't know anything. So that's why it's really important that if this is our last Ramadan, we treat it as if it's our last, and we treat it with so much respect, and we treat it with so much admiration, and we just strive so hard to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and let this be the means of us getting into Jannah, inshallah, one day. So obviously we need to do this in the last 10 nights, but if we can't manage to do all 10 nights, then as many as we can manage, but in particular, obviously the odd night, so that meaning the 21st, the 25th, the 27th and 29th. There are many acts of ibadah that we can do in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. There's just plenty, and I've talked about it in my other podcasts as well. And if you are menstruating in the month of Ramadan, especially in the last 10 nights, then please do check out my podcast on periods, where I talk about the things that you can do to still feel that same connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and still feel like you are reaping the exact same rewards. Because I spoke about one of the most important hadiths where Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated to Aisha radiallahu anha that you know, our menstruation, that's ordained for us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made that for us as women. And following that and following what Allah says about not praying whilst you're on your period, that is an act of worship in itself because you are obeying Allah's commands. Okay, so if some of you listened to my previous podcast, and that was to do with forming an ibadah routine, so we are essentially going to do the same thing and just talking about how to form an ibadah routine, but for the last 10 nights of Ramadan. So it's going to be really special and tailored to Ramadan because there are certain acts of worship that are really beautiful in this blessed month, and it can make a big impact and a big change in your worship and in how you're seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. So here are 10 points that I'm going to go through. So number one, and I've been doing my research, I've been also speaking to my friends as well as to, you know, what they think should be included, you know, in their worship plan, in their ibadah routine. And I've done some research online, and I've also done it from my experience as well. So again, these are just things that I've come across that have worked for me and I feel like can be very impactful for a lot of people as well. So by all means, you don't need to take any of this away with you. I mean, inshallah, it does benefit a lot of you. That's the aim of my podcast, to spread the knowledge that I look out for and I learn from others. I think it's really important that we constantly do spread and seek knowledge as well. So here are just 10 points to consider in your ibadah routine. Number one, and that is to remain in itikaf. Now, itikaf is an Islamic practice consisting of a period of staying in a mosque for a certain number of days, devoting yourself to ibadah during these days and staying away from worldly affairs. So essentially, you go to the masjid and you make that intention that you are going to be doing itikaf. Like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was always doing itikaf, and so we want to follow in his footsteps. So again, go to your local masjid or go with a friend and remain in itikaf. So just constantly just be in that state, that peaceful state of you doing ibadah. So obviously it could be praying your salah, it could be just, you know, doing dhikr, adhkar, anything that allows you to remember Allah consistently and at a constant pace as well for a set period of time. So some people's itikaf can be maybe half an hour long. It doesn't actually matter how long your itikaf is, but the whole purpose of itikaf is that you are literally in that mindset and where you're just focusing purely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a period where you are devoting yourself to just stay in that phase, that stay in that state of worship. And in that state of worship, you don't want to commit any sin. So that also includes minor sins as well and major sins, for example, backbiting, slandering, and also this includes seeing inappropriate stuff on social media, also avoiding idle talk and wasting time. So it's really important that if you are planning on doing itikaf, and inshallah that's my plan to do itikaf in the last 10 days of Ramadan, because it is, not only is it just very powerful, but it allows you to kind of refocus and reanalyze what your purpose is in this dunya. So I highly recommend doing itikaf. And it's also possible to make the intention of nafal itikaf each and every time one enters the masjid to gain rewards for the time spent in the masjid as well. So subhanallah, like that is a set period of time where you could be earning endless rewards. And also not only that, but it's going to help with mental health as well, because you are going to feel a sense of peace in your heart, you know. So it is really beautiful. Number two, and that is to worship all the 10 nights. So try your best, inshallah, to worship the whole of the 10 nights or as many days as you can. So like I said, you know, particularly focusing on the odd nights of Ramadan in the last 10 days. So 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th and 29th. And that is the best way to catch Laylatul Qadr, because obviously it can fall on any one of those odd nights or any one of those nights. And each and every good deed from Maghrib up until Fajr on Laylatul Qadr is rewarded a minimum of at least 83 years of worship. So again, subhanAllah, that is longer than the average human life. And I think that is so beautiful, the fact that we will actually still be rewarded for after death as well. So again, what I'd like to say, and I think this is the biggest thing, especially for me personally, like I go through major ibadah burnout. Like alhamdulillah, I'll go through this phase where I'm like constantly doing ibadah after ibadah, like I don't get tired, subhanallah. Like may Allah make it easy for all of us. But I am human at the end of the day, and they'll get to a point, like, you know, mankind, we were created as weak. It even states in the Quran that Allah made us weak. So it will come to a point, there will come to a point where I just burn out. And the minimum I do is just praying my salah, because obviously that's obligatory, and I'll read my Quran. But all the extra ibadah, like I just don't have the motivation to do it because I'm completely burnt out. And a lot of you have been asking me to do a separate podcast on how to deal with ibadah burnout. And that is coming, inshallah, after the month of Ramadan. But I just wanted to say specifically that if you really want to catch Laylatul Qadr and you want to have that maximum energy, it's really important that you have that motivation. So personally, this is what I'm doing. Again, everybody's going to work in different ways. Whatever your energy levels is, it's going to be different for everybody. But for me personally, like I usually do my ibadah in the evening, like I do my extra ibadah. Obviously, your obligatory still needs to stay set in your daily routine because that's obligatory, so that doesn't count. But anything extra, I highly recommend, if you feel like you're not going to have the energy to do it in the last third of the night, it's really important that you save that energy for the last third of your night, third of the night, so that way you can then maximize your energy and your power and your effort levels to strive as hard as you can. Because that's what I'm doing. Like, I'm going to do my obligatory acts of worship because that's what you're meant to do every single day. Allah has made that fard for us. But anything extra, like reading loads more Quran than I usually do, I'm going to save that for the last third of the night. And I'm also going to try and take naps throughout the day so that I can fully focus in the night as well. It's really important that you kind of rearrange your sleeping pattern. And obviously, I'm aware that all of our sleeping patterns are definitely messed up throughout Ramadan. Like my food patterns, my sleeping patterns are just all over the place. So it's really important that you get that sorted before you start tonight. So inshallah, I'm recording this now and I'm going to post this later on inshallah, so that some of you can listen to this and quickly plan your worship routine, your ibadah routine for the last 10 nights inshallah. So again, try and take naps. If you're somebody that likes to have iftar and then after praying, you know, Esha and praying Taraweeh and then going to sleep, instead of you going to sleep, then maybe try and use some of the time you have in the day to take a nap. Or maybe if you've got work afterwards, you take a nap. That way you can build your energy, you can have this power nap that gives you that instant boost of energy to stay up in the last third of the night and just full on do your ibadah with so much motivation, because honestly, that's going to make your worship impactful. Not only are you going to be doing the ibadah itself, but you're going to want to do more of it as well. So maybe have a go at that. But again, it's different for everybody. Okay, number three, this is the best dua for the last 10 nights, and that is, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. Oh Allah, you are the most forgiving and you love forgiveness, so forgive me. Memorize that dua. You can actually search that up, dua for forgiveness on Laylatul Qadr and the last 10 nights of Ramadan, and you will find that dua. And honestly, that dua, memorize it. Literally memorize it, because you can say this hundreds of times whenever you are free. Literally, when I drive around or when I go to the grocery shop or whatever, like I will literally just be repeating that even after every salah. Like when I'm doing my adhkar, I will repeat it. I'll repeat it before I go to sleep, if I can remember, by the way. I'm not saying I do this all the time, just a big disclaimer, I am human. But you know, whenever I can remember, through Allah's mercy, I will do that. And honestly, it has been life-changing, because you feel like you're purifying your heart after every single salah, okay? Because think about it, maybe between one salah to the next, you might have sinned. You might have committed a major sin or a minor sin. And I'm not just talking about Ramadan, I'm talking about obviously after Ramadan as well. Read that dua, just memorize it, have it engraved in your head, and just watch how your life changes. Aisha radiallahu anha reported, I asked Messenger of Allah, if I realize Laylatul Qadr's night of decree, what should I supplicate in it? And, you know, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he replied, you should supplicate, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. So again, oh Allah, you are the most forgiving and you love to forgive, so forgive me. So that's actually specified in a hadith, so please do search it up. And, you know, maybe you have it as your lock screen, for example. So that way, you know, once you finish praying, you can just look at your phone and just read it. And honestly, like, that is a life hack, especially because Allah is the most forgiving. He is all forgiving. He is the constant forgiver and he's the greatest forgiver. You know, he's Al-Ghafur, Al-Ghafar. And he's just like, we need to make the most of it. You know, Allah forgives us. As soon as we turn to him, he comes running to us. When we take one step to him, he comes running to us. So that just goes to show that Allah's mercy, like I said in my previous podcast, it is indescribable. You know, Allah's mercy is not what we can imagine. It's not the type of mercy we see in good humans. You can have the nicest human ever. That's not the mercy that we're seeing when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is much greater than that. It is something that we cannot even imagine. How beautiful is that? The fact that, you know, with humans, it's like you can make a mistake, right? And it takes some humans so many days to forgive and let go. Okay, we've all been there, we've all done that. It is quite hard to forgive people certain times, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the greatest, he is the king, he's al-malik, he's the king. And yet when we disobey our king and we seek for forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us straight away. He clears that sin. That sin is now no longer a sin against our name. Think about humans. Humans think about the sins. Allah, as soon as you commit that sin and you seek for forgiveness and subhanAllah, you know, Allah forgives you, Allah does not think about your previous sins at all. You just keep going on moving forward. Allah does not look at your past sins once you have been forgiven. And that is the whole point. Number four, and that is to give charity. So any good act such as charity during Laylatul Qadr is rewarded like you've done it for over 83 years. So actually, I've run a support group and one of the sisters, you know, may Allah be happy with her, she actually sent the most beautiful kind of list of the things that you need to do during the last 10 nights and how you can catch Laylatul Qadr. And she was essentially saying, for example, if you donate £1 on that night, £1 by the way, like for us in the UK, £1, because of the cost of living, you can't actually get a lot for £1 anymore, unfortunately. But think about it this way. £1 on Laylatul Qadr, if you donate it, and times that by 1,000 months, it's as if you've donated £30,000. SubhanAllah. Like, that's just giving me shivers. SubhanAllah. Like, that's genuinely just giving me shivers. I can't stop smiling because, like, I just... honestly, I was crying about this last night. Like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is just beautiful. Like, he even describes himself as the Lord that is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, the most merciful, the most kind, the most compassionate, beneficent. And that's the type of Lord Allah wants us to see him as. He is the one and only Lord, but he wants us to have that positive perception of him, that he is the most merciful, most kind. So the fact that when we donate £1, some people might think, oh, he or she is donating only £1, that's nothing. But on the night of Laylatul Qadr, it's as if you donated £30,000, okay? And it's so beautiful because, again, 1,000 months is equal to 83 years and 4 months. So that is equivalent to 30,000 days. Wow. Number five, and that is to do constant dhikr and adhkar. Like subhanallah 33 times, alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 33 times, astaghfirullah 100 times or 33 times. And honestly, doing constant dhikr and constant remembrance of Allah during Laylatul Qadr is so powerful and it's so good for your soul. And it just allows you to really be focused in that state of focusing on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially if you're somebody who finds it difficult in terms of like concentration when it comes to ibadah, this type of deed is very impactful and it's a simple deed. Also, again, think about it. 1,000 months equals to 83 years equals to 30,000 days. So one dhikr, so for example, Allahu Akbar or Subhanallah or Alhamdulillah, times that by 1,000 months, that is 30,000 times of dhikr. Like, Subhanallah. Like, that's one dhikr, by the way. So think about how many times you're doing it. So if you're doing Allahu Akbar 33 times, I can't do the maths in my head, but I know that that is like 30,000 times by 33. Like, that is incredible. That's honestly, like, dhikr, don't ever underestimate the power of dhikr, because think about how much remembrance that's going to reflect when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at us at the fact that we actually did this in the night of Laylatul Qadr. So again, do that. Also, the same thing. Also, alongside with dhikr and adhkar, read Quran. Like, when I tell you, read Quran. Like, I'm on this Quran journey, right? Like, you guys know this. You've seen it on my Instagram. I'm on this Quran journey where I'm, like, constantly reading it. Like, alhamdulillah, I'm reading it and I'm falling in love with it because, like, I'm reading the English meaning behind it as well, because I don't understand Arabic. But I can read it, but I can't understand it. But I can read the English, right? And I can understand it. And when I tell you, Quran hits differently when you actually fall in love with it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially for all of us, like some of us, you know, Arabic, we might not understand Arabic, but when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave this Quran for us to read and understand. It's, he didn't give this Quran for us to not understand it but read it. It does not make any sense. So again, we just have to look at it in a way where we need to, if we really want to fall in love with the deen and fall in love with the ibadah that we do, you know, you have to put the effort in to be able to understand it as well. Don't just read it, because you're not going to have that same type of love, okay? And trust me, it's happened to me in the past before, where I would just read Quran and didn't know a single word about it, and I didn't really feel, obviously I had love to it, but I never felt any sincerity or genuineness, astaghfirullah. So, you know, again, fall in love with the Quran by trying to understand it, and don't overwork yourself. Don't feel like, oh, I want to read 2 pages of Quran, but if I learn the meaning with it as well and read along with that, that's going to take forever. Don't think of it like that. Everybody is on their own Quran journey. You know, it's all about quality over quantity, subhanAllah. So again, reading 1 page of the Quran, that's equal to 30,000 pages of the Quran that you have read. And think about it, Quran is about over, I think, I don't know the exact number, but it's over 600 pages. So if you think about it, you've read the Quran like more than a good maybe 5 times. I can't do the maths, by the way. I'm not a maths teacher, can't do the maths, but I think you can imagine how much that's going to impact you. Like, that's going to be written down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to have a record where he writes this down. Like, it is beautiful. Honestly, I'm so excited for tonight. Like, because it's the last 10 days, Ramadan hits different, you know? Ramadan really does hit different in the last 10 days because everybody, you know, subhanAllah, everybody's so focused and everybody just wants to please Allah. And I think that is amazing. Okay, number 6, and that is to eat well and hydrate well. So eating well, when I say eating well, I mean eating light. So as you're going to be staying up until Fajr, the more you eat, and I have a whole podcast episode to do with how to wake up for Fajr. And one of the things is not, you know, overeating and not eating sluggish foods, because it's going to be a drag waking up for Fajr and you're going to feel sluggish and you're not going to have the right energy you need. So because you're going to be staying up until Fajr, the more you eat, the harder it will be for you to stay up and the less productive you will be. And same thing, hydrate well, okay? Throughout the entire day up until Maghrib, you haven't had water. So if you are gonna, if you're planning to go to the masjid, make sure you have 2 liters, I'm not even joking, like 2 liters of water. Like with me, after Maghrib, first thing I have is like 1 liter of water, because my body like is in need of water. And yeah, so imagine when you're doing so much ibadah, that requires a lot of motivation and a lot of energy levels, because you're using your mind, okay? So because you're using a lot of the energy from your mind, obviously you're going to need body energy for that as well to keep you going. So have some water with you at all times. This will help you to stay up and then feel energized and refreshed and have a much clearer mind. And trust me, when it's the last third of the night where you probably might feel a little bit cranky and sleepy, you need to have that clear mind in order to perform your ibadah to the best of your ability, inshallah. Okay, number 7, and that is to complete all the tasks beforehand. So make arrangements to clear as many of your pending tasks as possible, or make a plan for tracking them later, because this way you're free to worship during the 10 nights without being distracted by worldly tasks. So again, if you are a night owl that likes to do work during the night, please, please, please try your best to kind of get that done throughout the day, because trust me, you are going to need that night. Because like I said before, you know, who are you to know whether you're going to live for the next Ramadan? You don't know that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. So you don't want any distractions at all. Also, when you're doing your itikaf, one thing I would advise is turning your phone off, so you're away from worldly distractions, you're away from any possible fitna that could come up on your screen on Instagram or TikTok. Please, please, please do not go on TikTok. If you're on TikTok, and I got TikTok the other day, by the way, like I downloaded TikTok and astaghfirullah, like I was just seeing so much stuff that just was not meant to be there, and I'm just like, right, I'm deleting TikTok again. And if your TikTok and Instagram is filtered so that it's Islamic posts, by all means, you know, that's fine, but I wouldn't risk it. So like I was saying, do your best to just turn your phone off completely, let your parents know where you are and that you are going to be turning your phone off. Or to be honest, if you've got iPhone or just a, you know, Android or whatever, you can put it for iPhone, you can click on do not disturb or focus. I love using focus, and I'm going to be using that a lot because it notifies people that you are focusing on your ibadah, which is quite nice. And also, obviously, you can just silence your phone. But I would say if you really want to make the most of it, stay away from your phone. If that's one thing that I've learned from my Umrah trip, and I went in Umrah, I went to Umrah during February. I can't believe it's gone that far, subhanAllah. One thing I was so happy with is the fact that I didn't go on my phone at all. And if I did, it was to post a podcast or, I don't know, maybe to look at something and take pictures. That's it. But other than that, I did not go on my phone once, and I'm so happy I didn't, because I feel like I really did make the most of that Umrah with the time that I had, alhamdulillah. Okay, so number eight is actually one of my favorites, because that is literally what my podcast is about. It's about, you know, character building and trying to have that exemplary character. That is what I'm trying to do, because I'm on that journey and I want you girls to be on that journey with me as well. So number eight is to show your outmost beautiful character in the last 10 nights, because you do not, and this is the last thing any one of us would want, you do not want all of your acts of worship to go to waste because you've just backbited about some random auntie, some random cousin. Like, that is the last thing you want. And the thing is, a lot of us, we don't actually realise when we're backbiting. Stuff like that can happen as well. So please, and it's a big reminder to myself, by the way, everything that I'm saying in today's podcast, I feel like I should make a disclaimer at the beginning, but everything that I say in my podcast is a big reminder to myself. So before I share this, reminder to myself for most, because I'm not perfect by any means. And yeah, like, you don't want all of your good deeds to go to waste because you've unintentionally just spoke badly about someone. So again, it's about being self-aware. So if you want to show exemplary character, be self-aware with every action you do. It's like you need to tread on toes when it comes to your ibadah. Like, that's how much you need to do. Like, when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need to kind of be very wary about your actions, because you never know. We don't know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to feel about our deed, okay? So we do need to remember that. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that nothing will be heavier on the day of resurrection in the scale of the believer than good manners. So that's akhlaq, good manners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates the one who utters foul or coarse language. So that's stated in the hadith. So we must aim to be the best in character during these blessed nights and continue to do so for the rest of the year. So again, that includes, we mustn't argue or swear or backbite or slander or gossip. You know, anything, even if you're unsure. You know, I have sisters who tell me, like, Rizwana, I've got this issue, but I don't know if I'm backbiting. I always tell people, like, just don't do it. Don't risk it. At all. You have to ask yourself, is there any need for you to even bring that person up? If you've got nothing good to say, don't just say it at all. Even if it's not bad about the person, but that person might not even want you to bring them up in front of other people. So again, just speak good words about people. If you feel like you're gonna accidentally say something that might be contradicting your actions and your ibadah, then leave it, because trust me, you do not want to be losing that sacred ibadah that you're doing just because of one little bad deed that you could have stopped yourself from doing. So again, big reminder to myself foremost. Number nine, and that is no time wasting. So like I said during when I spoke about the calf, is to ensure that you are avoiding idle talk at all times. So we must make a firm intention that during these blessed 10 nights that we just won't take part in idle talk and watch TV and play computer games or just whatever, like just doing, you know, relevant things, going on TikTok, like things that will just have no benefit to us. And there are, and you have to remember, like, this, we've got all the time in the world, subhanAllah, to go on our phones and stuff. And these are just the last 10 nights. 10 nights, okay? There's about 355 days in the year. We've only got 10 nights, okay? So to be honest, you do not want to risk going on TikTok and then not realizing that you've actually spent 2 hours scrolling through TikTok. And trust me, when I got TikTok the other day, like, I literally caught myself scrolling after like an hour. I was like, oh my gosh, I've been scrolling for an hour. So again, no time waste, avoid that, and just make the most of every single time that you have. Obviously take breaks, that's not saying that you can't take a break, but just make sure if you are taking a break, maybe just sit down, relax yourself, scroll through your, I don't want to say scroll through your phone or TikTok, maybe look at Islamic reminders, maybe look at a YouTube video so that you're not using your mind as much, and you can just go easy on your mind a little bit. Then go back to building your ibadah. And last but not least, number 10, and I think this is the biggest thing that we need to learn and take away from Ramadan, is our building of good habits that we've established during Ramadan. Now, I am somebody who thinks, personally for me, everybody's on their journey, but you do not just want to be the best in Ramadan, okay? You want to be the best in your ibadah. You want to be the best Muslim you can be in the eyes of, metaphorically, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the rest of the months, in your lifetime. That is your purpose. You have to remember that, you know, in this dunya, do not forget that we are there to build our place in the akhirah. So we are building deeds, we are doing actions and activities that will allow us to build our home in the hereafter, because that is where we're meant to be going, inshallah. So number 10 is about making life changes. So we should make the necessary changes to improve ourselves as Muslims. And what better time to make such changes than during these blessed 10 nights? We can change our lives forever, subhanallah. And we must internalize that these changes, you know, and make firm commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And maybe that He will wipe off our sins until we become newborn babies, inshallah. Like, again, it's going to wipe away our sins. So just think about it. Like, subhanAllah, the power. That's why it's called the night of power, because it's a night that really does reflect our good actions. If anything, Allah exaggerates the reward that we're getting, subhanAllah, for just one simple action. Like, Allah, whenever, you know, even in the Quran, it talks about multiple times, like, whenever we do good, Allah just rewards us more, or He rewards us tenfold or 10 times more. Like, that just shows how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to make it so easy for us to enter Jannah. So let's not, you know, waste this time here and develop these good habits, inshallah, that we can take after Ramadan into our daily lives after Ramadan, inshallah. Okay, so let's talk about the last aspect of this podcast. What are the best actions during the 10 nights of power? So the last 10 nights of Ramadan. So obviously, Taraweeh prayer. So that's our voluntary prayer that we do in Ramadan. Donating, so charity. So ensure that you are kind of, if you are wanting to give charity, one of the things I would recommend is try and give a little bit to every type of charity there is. So orphans, refugees, just anybody poor in general, you know, building masjid, water well, making copies of the Quran, planting a tree, you know, having a dawah project. And also another thing, giving dawah, like, that is sadaqah jariyah in your name. So go out, you know, spread that knowledge of Islam. Teach your relative, teach your friend, teach your husband or your wives something that you've learned about Islam. Because trust me, if they take what they've learned from you about Islam and they start implementing it in their life, and that habit that you've taught them has changed their life and brought them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, watch, when your time comes, where it comes to the end of the world, not end of the world, end of your time, so you've passed away, you're still going to be getting reward for that knowledge that you have shared. So create a dawah project, you know. It's not too late. You don't need to for it to be a project, but you can just give dawah to those around you. Dhikr, so, you know, Allahu Akbar, so meaning Allah is the greatest. Alhamdulillah, thanks to Allah. Subhanallah, glory be to Allah, and saying astaghfirullah 100 times as well. So seeking, you know, forgiveness. Also making dua for others, because remember, when you make dua for others, subhanallah, the angels make that same exact dua for you. And I think that is absolutely beautiful. Seeking for Allah's forgiveness. So remember what I told you about the that dua and that hadith. So that dua for forgiveness, memorize it, learn it. And then also reciting the Quran as well, or reading the meaning of the Quran in English. And also making sure that you are reading the surahs that you need to read every night. So for example, for Isha, that you are reading Surah Mulk, because that is the surah that's going to protect you from the punishment of the grave, inshallah. And yeah, and again, read and understand the meaning of the Quran. So get the app Tartil is an amazing app. I have learned so much from that app. Whoever created that app, you know, may Allah bless them abundantly for it. And another thing is reading Surah Ikhlas. Ikhlas is that one surah that is nice and short, but also it holds so much value as well. So reading that three times, as much as you can, that's as if you've read the entire Quran, subhanallah. again, giving food to others for iftar, like in the last 10 nights, if you have any food, like leftover food that, you know, you feel like might go to waste, give it to people in the masjid. Like, don't worry about it being leftovers. Like, you're there to help people. You're there to, you know, allow people to enjoy food. And we shouldn't be wasting it, especially with the things that are happening in this world. We really need to be grateful. And again, seek knowledge. Seeking knowledge is beautiful. Imagine seeking new knowledge throughout Laylatul Qadr. Like, it's subhanAllah, it's beautiful. And obviously doing like nafl prayers as well. And just like a bit of advice along with that, like I was saying before earlier, it's better to nap, you know, during the daytime to prepare for Laylatul Qadr, or just prepare for the last 10 nights. And remember that you must be sincere when it comes to doing your ibadah. So you don't want your ibadah to go to waste because you are not being sincere. If you feel like you are being sincere, but then it gets to a point where you're feeling tired and you're lacking that motivation, I'd say stop, maybe give yourself a break, 5-minute break, get yourself a bit of water and go back to it. There's no point in just literally longing out in ibadah if your mind isn't up to it. I know it's better than nothing, no ibadah, but if you really know that you can do this, you want to give yourself maybe a break to calm down before you start again. So be sensible about it and don't waste your time during that night. Like I said before, do these and, you know, repeat it the same every night, inshallah. And also, like, this is something that's really helpful, and that is to make a note and write down a list of your du'as that you want to make during Laylatul Qadr. Like, when it comes to Laylatul Qadr, all of us have endless du'as that we want to make. Write them down so that you are able to make sure that you don't miss out on any specific du'as. That's what I did when I went to Umrah. Like, when I went to Umrah, I wrote down a whole bunch of du'as on my iPad, and I just had my iPad out with me. I also wrote it on my hand as well, because I know that I was going to forget it. And yeah, so again, these are all of these different beautiful acts of worship that you can do in the month of Ramadan, especially in the last 10 nights. And, you know, may all of our deeds fall on Laylatul Qadr. May our deeds be sincere. You know, may our deeds be so beautiful that it is a means for us to get to Jannah. I mean, I just think, you know, we are blessed to see another Ramadan again. So let's make the most of it. And let this be our one-way ticket to Jannah. We have to make it our aim. We need to see ourselves in Jannah, but we need our actions to go with it, inshallah. Okay, my lovelies, so I pray you enjoyed this podcast. I absolutely loved making this episode. I genuinely think this is my favourite episode because it's Ramadan and it's Laylatul Qadr, and alhamdulillah, I'm so grateful to Allah for giving me this platform to like share what I know. And again, all of this like advice and tips I'm giving you, it's all come from research and other people. And so it's not all just come from me. So again, any goodness that you see, all praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any goodness that you see, it's all from Allah. And again, all praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So thank you very much for listening, and I'll see you girls in the next podcast, inshallah. Take care and assalamu alaikum.